I want to welcome all of you here this morning. This is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. Also, those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. We're going to open our service this morning with song number 732 from our supplement. Number 732.
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we come singing that which we have sung, that worthy is the name of Jesus, that perfect, spotless Lamb of God, that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish. And the blood that cleanses us who are full of blemishes, the blood that does that even our mind can't even understand in this natural sense, that blood is something that we would see as a staining, but it is such a cleansing power. That blood of Jesus that was poured from his side and from the nails in his hands and his feet. The love that you bestowed upon us when you looked down from heaven, when you saw him there on that center cross of Calvary, when he cried out to forgive us, and that you would do so, Father. And we come this morning to offer our praise and our thanksgiving. We thank you for a new day of grace that we can, after we have had a restful night's sleep, that we can open our eyes to look forward to, and now as we are here to be under the hearing of the word, we ask that you would continue to prepare our hearts to hear this word this morning. Prepare our hearts to always receive the word as we read and study it, as we are given strength to even to proclaim it, that we would praise your name, even as the psalm we're going to read says, to praise in the congregation in the upright, among the upright, but to praise your name to the world that we come in contact with, this world that we know is lost and dying, except it turn to your Son, Jesus, that we would always uphold him, not our weakness, but his strength. Father, we ask that you would be with those in need. We think of the fatherless and the widows. We know you have a special place in your heart for them because they truly are not fatherless or widow when they have you as their father and they have Jesus as the bride, that they are the bride of Christ, rather. And that we all have that we can claim, Abba Father, dear Father. Father, on this Sunday, we also celebrate pastor appreciation, and we're thankful for our pastor that we have now, and also for Pastor Tom, those that have faithfully served us in that capacity, and we have been blessed here in this congregation for many, many years, that we would have pastors that do not lift themselves up, but recognize their own humanity and recognize the strength that they need that is drawn from you. We ask that you would continue to do so. Bless this congregation with the spoken word. We also want to remember, even as next weekend Jacob Seppinen becomes ordained, that thank you that he has answered the call, and that others would do so as well. We know that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Father, we remember this country that we live in, this seemingly time of turmoil, but I think it has been that way because of mankind's sinful nature. But there are times we see, and it's been revealed to us, the word working. Your word is powerful, that can cut through and divide even those things and to bring many to you. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to continue with 504, I Must Tell Jesus. song means a lot to me. We sang it last evening in our Sunday school. We usually sing one song after we have a time to spend together. It's been one of my favorite for many years, and I get times in my job that become very, very stressful, to the point of feeling physically ill. And I've been in that this week, and in the upcoming week I have some very stressful job interview to go to. And my typical nature would be to bottle that up and not turn to the Lord. But what a good reminder that song has, that we bring everything to Him. So I appreciate it singing that again. Our psalm reading is Psalm 111, found on page 473 in your pew Bible. We're going to read his 10 verses in Jesus' name this morning. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hand are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Amen. We're going to continue with 460, How Great Thou Art. Thank you.
You with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. Isn't that a marvelous gift to be able to proclaim and exclaim how great thou art? You know, the gift that God supplies unto us through the fruit of the Spirit is to know his love, to know his long suffering toward us, to know the joy that faith brings to us, the joy that God supplies through his Son, Jesus Christ, a joy that goes so far beyond the temporal happiness of this world. I think the two words joy and happy are really polar opposites, almost in my mind anyhow, because I look at joy as being a spiritual gift that God supplies. Happiness is, we're happy with the things that we have, etc. But the joy that God brings, it resides in the soul of man. And what a blessing that is to know his goodness and his grace. To know that he has loved you with an everlasting love. Not just something temporal, not short term and, that's going to fade away, but an everlasting love. That's the purpose and the focus of our God. He deals in eternity. He doesn't ignore time, but he deals in eternity. We were certainly blessed to be able to gather together last weekend. I appreciated the messages and the fellowship that we had to be able to once again reunite and with those that we have known and sometimes get to know people better or to meet new people. I think those are marvelous occasions, and to know that God is so gracious in such a way that he allows us to sometimes just feast upon his word. Sometimes it would seem to our natural minds that, well, why do we sit through so many services? And yet when we look back, we see what a blessing they were. This carnal portion of ours, this old man, has a need for some discipline sometimes, doesn't it? And I take comfort in the fact that, as Luke records it, that as his custom was, Jesus went to the synagogue. Isn't that amazing? The very Son of God had the custom of going to church, like we do. We know that the word that that we receive is a spiritual word, and that the church is a spiritual church. But we trust that God supplies in means that are a regular means, because of who we are as individuals and the gift that we have. I have appreciated the respect that this congregation in particular over the years has had towards the ministry, the churches throughout the nation. I don't know how many different denominations recognize in October an appreciation for the pastors and for the ministry of the word, but as I look back at when I first came to this congregation, that respect was there. You know, those elders that we had, not just the pastors that we looked to, but the elders that were so supportive, that were so steadfast in the word. The blessing is just way beyond what the mind can comprehend. But that is God's work within each one of us. He's given you a place to be able to strengthen the very body of Christ, the gift that we have. I was talking with Brother John Isaacson this weekend, and we were talking about the need for prayer as pastors, how we feel that need. And he said, he was telling me how his dad, and maybe you've heard this before, his dad said that prayer and when we're dealing with the church situation is two parts. One is the pastor that has to pray that God would open his word, but it's also the congregation that has to pray that God would open his word. Not just to the pastor, but to each one of us as individually, because as pastors, we need this word as much, I almost dare say more, but I don't want to be presumptuous, with the fact that this word is so necessary in our lives. The fact that it is in Christ Jesus whom we live and move and have our being. That is the gift that we have as the body of believers, to know the goodness of God, to know it here in time, to be able to be supported, even in the most difficult of times. We can tell Jesus, we can go to him, we can speak to him because of what he has done upon the cross. And not only that, we can approach unto our God. He taught us how to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." There's no other religion or other place on earth where mankind can approach that directly unto God, because we can go through Christ Jesus, through his redemptive work. We're going to turn to the Apostle Paul's letter to 2 Timothy. Perhaps it's timely that on the church calendar, this pastoral letter has been a part of the calendar for a number of weeks already. I believe it is even for a couple of more weeks. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to read from and begin with verse 8. But, the Apostle Paul wrote these two letters. They were written probably 5-6 years apart. The first one Paul wrote from Rome. He was there on his own volition. He had appealed to Rome. The Jews wanted to literally put him to death. And so he appealed as a Roman citizen, and he was held prisoner there. He was chained to a guard. He had some freedom. He was able to participate with the local congregations and so on. But the second letter has a much different tone. Paul's first letter was good instruction to a young pastor who was residing at Ephesus. We don't know how long Timothy was there, but Timothy was a convert of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas as they traveled on the first missionary journey. And on the second journey, when Paul and Silas went up there to reestablish where those people were at, to reestablish their contact with them, he took Timothy with him and became a close confidant for pretty much the rest of Paul's life. He was in Rome with him at a time, but he also was there placed to support the congregation there at Ephesus. Very difficult place for a young pastor. For the winds that were blowing through the Ephesus was a major trade route, so you had every god imaginable that was brought through by the various travelers and worshipped. And so we know it was a difficult place. And yet, Paul, he gives many warnings, but we heard last Sunday morning from Pastor Jason on this first chapter, Paul encouraging Timothy, reminding him, of his mother and grandmother, of the faith that God had placed there. Not that they could give Paul faith. No one gives his faith. It is God who gives faith. But he reminded them, and he says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, and the fact that he says, be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be rather a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So he knew that there would be trials, but he was also encouraging him. And then in the second chapter, he opens it so beautifully. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So he's established already. He knows Timothy well, you know, but he's reminding him, where is our faith rooted? It is in Jesus Christ. And so let's read, beginning with verse 8. We'll read this in Jesus' name. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, whereunto I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto ungodliness, and their word will eat as it doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Paul, in his instruction as a, you know, I guess he was an elder pastor. I don't know if we know exactly what his age was. I don't remember his age when he was writing these letters, but he wasn't, like the Apostle John, who was close to 100 years old when he passed away. This apostle had suffered many things because of that which occurred there on the road to Damascus. An apostle who was so well versed in the scriptures, he studied under Gamaliel, who was perhaps the greatest teacher of the scriptures, you know, in his day. You know, it's amazing that when we read these apostles, especially Paul and Peter and the accounts that they leave, the epistles that they leave, that you know, they didn't have a New Testament to rely on. You know, they were still reading from the Old Testament scriptures. They had the accounts that took place, the individuals, as we read in Acts, as they carried the testimony of believers, they had to sit down and write these things out. They had to put into letter form, which was not an easy task. They didn't have word processors or computers. So many today are able to do amazing things on a little smartphone. But these had to be written out. These had to be written and copied and sent out to the various churches and to the individuals here as Paul sends it to Timothy. But you know, when God gives the ability to do, when God inspires within the heart of individuals, that's when the marvelous work takes place, doesn't it? Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing. Taking these words of Jesus that, you know, had resided within the heart of this Apostle Paul as he had come to know this Jesus on the road to Damascus. This one whom he persecuted, that, you know, he carried those scars with him all the days of his life. You know, but to recognize that even the persecution of the church, you know, even through that, God was able to bring forgiveness. You know, the fact that God doesn't look upon the extent of man's sin. Yes, he sees and he wants us to turn from those sins that are so much against what his word and who he is. But he doesn't see those and weigh those and say, well, is this person acceptable to receive salvation? No, he brings about repentance and faith, and when he does that, he brings a marvelous work, doesn't he? He doesn't just change an individual a little bit, well, we're going to tweak it here and there, but he brings us spiritually to a point of death. And that's difficult for the mind to conceive. But Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tells us that he says, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. You know, that commandment that was ordained unto life brought him death because he began to see, he recognized that he was without hope. He was the same as those Gentiles that he wrote to in the book of Ephesians. You know, when he was writing to that church that Timothy was to be able to share a pastorship in, you know, he writes to them in this way. He says, that in time past you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And so he creates that new man within us. We have a living soul. He creates that new man, that new birth that Jesus talked about to Nicodemus, that sometimes is so difficult for these natural minds to comprehend, especially when we are brought up in the church. I remember struggling with that. You know, well, am I going to reach a point where all of a sudden I'm going to, you know, have this marvelous experience that I'm going to know that I'm born again? Well, to me, it came the opposite way. I had to come to that place that Paul did, to recognize that I couldn't confess my way into the kingdom of God. As much as I tried to confess the sins that, you know, began to weigh upon me. And that was a good process. It was a necessary process. But we have to look at the fact that what's outside of Christ, we are dead in trespasses and sins. That is God's work to create that new creature within us. And he does. And that work of the Holy Spirit then takes hold of us and causes us to be as the Apostle Paul, to recognize that there is a place. You know, that Paul accepted what God had intended for him to do. God sent Ananias to Paul, and he says, you go tell him he's going to have to do on my behalf. And very often that discussion isn't easy because it requires that we give of ourselves, that we submit unto God, that we ask of him, search me, O God, know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way that is everlasting. You know, the fact that we submit unto our God, it takes away from the things that I want to do, the we part and the I part of our existence. The fact that God calls us because of why? Because of a demand? No, because of the great love that he had. Because we recognize that Christ died for me. That was Paul's recognition on that road to Damascus. That Jesus Christ died for his sins. He who persecuted the church. Now maybe it doesn't seem to us, as those of us that, you know, have been in the church, that, well, we've ever gone to that point. You know. But sin is sin. God doesn't weigh that value. And this inborn corruption that we're born with takes, you know, part of anything that we would offer to say, well, maybe, but. It brings us to that place that Paul recognizes that Timothy himself had come to. Not because of his grandparents and his parents, but had he come to faith. But he says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And he says, by the putting out of my hands, he says, this is my encouragement to you. You know, this is how we encourage one another. You know, we have, you know, and we're going to see next Sunday in the ordination, the putting out of hands, the laying out of hands on a young brother who is going to take up that yoke. You know, and it's a powerful thing because it is God's work. It isn't man's work. It isn't the strength of the individuals that do. Just as when we confess our sins as we go to a brother or sister when something is troubling us, it isn't in the strength of that individual. You know, when that sin is confessed and then we hear that sin can be washed away as far as the east is from the west, the doubts and the fears that we often have that are contrary to our trust in God, it isn't in the strength of those that preach the word, but it's the word itself. It is the word and the spirit united together, reaching into our hearts, bringing that peace unto our souls, uniting us with a God who is a living God, something that would be far too terrifying and impossible for us to do outside of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul had experienced with Timothy, this work of God, working in both of their hearts, uniting them as brothers, that unites us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We who have become, as Peter describes it, he says, you're a royal priesthood. You know, that's a strange thought for us because we, you know, we don't necessarily deal a lot with the priesthood as the children of Israel did. But Paul, or Peter, in his epistle writes, he says this way, he says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed even of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are lively stones and are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That is the work of the believer. That is what faith accomplishes, that God gives through his great love towards humanity, so that we can share this message of the gospel. And it is done in so many ways. You know, and each way that God uses is the perfect way. Sometimes it's a simple thing. You know, I've used that expression of seeing my grandmother, who I couldn't communicate in the English language with, that I couldn't communicate spiritually with, seeing her from a balcony, looking down and recognizing her hat and her coat. It sticks with me today. It was an encouragement. It wasn't something that gave me faith, but it encouraged me to think about those things and to ask my mother, is Grandma a Christian? And I rejoice at that answer that she believed. And so that is the hope that God brings to us. That is the power that Paul is talking about here when he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Because that's what confounded the people that they were talking to, and it, literally that we talk to today. We can understand a crucifixion. You know, it was literal, it was stood up, it has been stood up before the entire world. And it continues to be. That this man, Jesus Christ, was crucified on a cross 2,000 years ago. And we begin to speak of the resurrection, that he rose again. That's when the skepticism comes out. That's when the doubts, oh well, I can believe that he died, that he was a sacrifice. But the word tells us that he was a living sacrifice. Those sacrifices in the Old Testament prefigured Jesus Christ. They were a shadow of those things to come. But they were not living sacrifices after the sacrifice was completed. But Jesus Christ becomes unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Because he rose again from the dead according to whose gospel? Yeah, Paul says it's his gospel. And you can say it's your gospel if you're encouraging someone to believe, because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's not being exclusive here. You know, we could take that little short section there and say, oh, well, look how proud Paul was. No. You know, Paul held within him that knowledge that he was the chief of sinners. But the gift that we have is that this gospel, as he says, whereunto I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You know, he was in bonds because he was probably going against the law of the land. He was preaching Jesus Christ. You know, let's pray that we never face that here in this country. Let's pray that no country faces it, but it's entirely possible. It occurred with the Apostle Paul. You know, the fact that he went against the Roman government He was brought there into prison. And we visited that, 20 years ago. Literally the sewer pit of Rome. A little hole that they were lowered down into and fed from. But he's writing unto the believers. Read the prison epistles, the ones that he wrote from prison. He's encouraging us. He knew that he was going. He tells us in the fourth chapter, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. It didn't matter what was happening to him. Those trials were not important. They were not the focus of his life, even though they were difficult. He knew where his strength could come from. He knew who would supply unto him. He says, but the word of God is not bound. Little did Paul know that here in 2025 we would be reading his word. But we are. Because this word will never be taken away. This word will never pass. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's the focus of our lives as believers, isn't it? Yes, we go through every day, and those are important days. Time is precious. You know, when you're suffering with devastating diseases and things in this life, we realize just how precious life is. But how we with thankfulness can look unto God and know that this is the purpose. I will endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain, to encourage one another, to reach out, to call to one another, someone that has gone, is going through what we have already passed through, and to recognize that, yes, God is faithful. He will carry you. What encouragement that is from someone who has faced the same trial we have. And Paul knew this. God knows this. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Isn't that amazing? You know, he says it's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. You know, that knowledge that because Christ is our all in all, because he is everything we have, everything we need, that we are going to live with him. We are dead without him. And the sufferings, you know, that we go through, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him, because Christ has risen victorious over death, over hell, and over the devil on our behalf. He's overcome this world, hasn't he? He told his disciples, didn't he, that he would overcome the world. It was difficult for them to believe while he was still with them. But he promised that he would leave that work to the Holy Spirit to guide and to speak those words that he spoke to his disciples and continues to speak to us. The end of the 16th chapter of John, John records this. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, he says, remember this. He is the one that is able to overcome any obstacle we have in this world. And sometimes they seem to be insurmountable. We've all faced them. But we have one who has gone before us and continues to supply out of his great love for us. He says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. In other words, you know, all of the divisions that come about, they come to because of words of no profit, right? Maybe my understanding is better than your understandings. You know, that tends to be the starting point of those word battles, those, I don't know what you want to call them. You know, Paul says, there's no value. All it does is subvert the hearers. What we need to focus upon is what God has said, what God has provided. Because that is what is going to stand and last. That is what is not bound, as Paul has said. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Isn't that amazing that he would encourage Timothy to go up before God? You know, that's in our humanity, that's a terrifying place, isn't it? We can't hide anything from our God. You know, the very thoughts and intents of the heart, he knows. And so he says, study, go into this word. God will supply. Read the word. Meditate upon it. That's for each one of us. It's not just for Timothy, because, you know, that is the very core of what life is about, is knowing Jesus Christ, knowing that God has supplied a purpose for you, and that he would desire to spend eternity with you. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto more and more ungodliness. And then he gives an example. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know, there were so many that were waiting for the resurrection. Once they grasped that, they said, well, you know, the end is near. We don't have to go to work. You know, Paul addresses that in his letter to the Thessalonians. You know, that's how our humanity is sometimes. It goes from one extreme to the other. I don't believe in the resurrection, and it's coming now. It's going to happen immediately. But Paul says, rest in this fact that God himself, he says, you know, nevertheless, the foundation of God is standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, you know, in those discussions that you have with others, don't turn them away from what God has done. Be patient. Speak the love and truth, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians. You know, be patient with those that do not understand. You know, that is our work here, is to share this message of God's peace. You know, we use it as a greeting, and it's a marvelous greeting. It's wishing peace upon another's heart and the other individual. Let's pray that we can share that with all of humanity, everyone we come in contact with, as God would give will and purpose. You know, we don't know what individual hearts are. Sometimes it seems like hearts are closed, and, you know, you wonder, what can I do? Simply ask of God. Continue to pray. Seek God's guidance and direction in those things. Because his will is that all men would come to the place of repentance and faith. We don't have to ask if it's according to your will. His desire is that this gospel message that Paul is encouraging this young pastor, that he encourages us today, is that this message of the gospel would be first and foremost to share this message of God's love. Because it does bring guidance and direction, right? It takes that which, you know, is a part of this life. He says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, that we would turn to what God himself has supplied unto us and know that his direction for us is in a good way. Unto him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue now with song number 457, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, 457. And then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper.
Thank you.
Let us pray with and for them who now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls, and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's now confess our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you.
us guilty of partaking. Remember his sufferings, his death, and his glorious resurrection when he comes again.
Thank you.
Let's give thanks and pray. We thank thee, O Lord, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that thou of thy mercy would strengthen us through this communion in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We sing 173 as our song of thanks after communion. 173.
There's a meal being prepared downstairs for Pastor Appreciation. All invited for some food and some fellowship. Schedule for this week, Tuesday, 7 p.m. will be a board meeting on Zoom. Wednesday, 7 p.m. will be Bible study at Stan and Shirley's home. And Friday at 10 a.m. women's Bible study. I don't know where that'll be, but you guys... Next Sunday we'll have a little bit different service. There aren't pastors available, so we are going to do a pre-recorded audio sermon, one of Pastor Holmgren's sermons. So that'll be next Sunday. So there will be no Bible study in the morning, but there'll be a service at 11. We are going to close with 546 during this song. An offering will be taken. And then following that, if we could stand and sing number 666 for Table Grace before we go downstairs.
Thank you. Thank you.